And good evening, and welcome to episode 3 of the Woo Watch week 1-ish. I forget what I'm actually going to title this episode. Week 1. And I don't think it's the actual week 1, but we're already getting off track. So good evening. Let me say at the front that I hope you have a great Thanksgiving remainder of the week. If you celebrate that, I hope you just get some time off. If you don't, I'm looking forward to banana fritters, which is a dessert my grandmother makes, I think once or twice a year, and hopefully enough leftovers so I don't have to cook for the next 3 to 4 days. That'd be fantastic. And for today's episode, there's really no massive subject. I guess there's one big hire that I want to get to, but just some updates on what our mayor has been doing. And barring anything big occurring next week, I might do the first installment of what I'm just going to call the council. Thank you, everyone, for suggesting names. Just going to go keep it basic and start going through some of the old members of the Boston City Council, the newer ones, just so we can get a stage of all the characters and how I think the political dynamics will play out under a Wu administration. And to my knowledge, they haven't picked an inauguration day yet. But if you know that, if you know when everyone's getting sworn in, let me know, because I actually haven't seen an official date. And the first thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, and this is my usual, if you're following me right now on TikTok, I recommend you switch over to Twitch so you can see the visuals. If you want to just chill down there, you're cool too. And that is Michelle Wu's most notable hire over the last, we'll call it 5 or 6 days. The new head of the Department of Economic Development, Segun Iduwu. I believe he grew up in the city, because I know somebody who went to high school with him. And I haven't found anyone who has ever said a bad thing about this person. Now, of course, I have a general concern, like I normally would. But he is the grandson of a prominent local civil rights activist, 33 years old, from Hyde Park. He ran for the State House, when I'm unsure. I believe he was a Bostonian Man of the Year, maybe last year or the one before it. And I know that he sued Marty Walsh, well, the mayor's administration, mostly because of how few city contracts were actually going to businesses owned by Black people and people of color. And again, most of what I share with you here is from either my personal experience with the local hires, what I've heard from other organizers and activists, kind of my own background knowledge of how things work. And then I try to just formulate an opinion on that. And I have to say, there is no one in the circle of people that I trust and go to who have anything negative to say. So before I go into what is my concern, which again, I think would exist with everyone, is that Segun is probably by far the best person that is within the orbit that Michelle would have picked. I can't name you another person in Boston, minus, again, some more radical economic thinkers that I would have wanted in this position, but there was really no one else that is within the confines of what Michelle Wu would have appointed. Now, my criticism, or I guess, again, I'm going to keep rephrasing it as concern, I would have had in anyone in this position. And to kind of explore it a little bit, I just want to go to a interview he did with Ebony Magazine very recently, November 18th. So this the title reads, Ebony Exclusive, Segun Iduwu, CEO of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts. That was his previous role. I believe he's stepping down at the beginning of this year on bridging the racial wealth gap. And I recommend everyone read the full thing. And again, to set the stage for what I'm going to share with you, while he was the president and CEO of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts, he sued the Walsh administration because we have ordinances, we'll call it, that try to meet certain percentage criteria. And I think I've talked about this where it comes to construction work somewhat, that for large-scale construction, you have to have 51% local hires, this percentage of women, this percentage of minorities. And there is no follow-up. There is no actual consequences for not meeting those deadlines. And then wouldn't you know it, once we actually look into it, no one's meeting it. So similar to this, there was a number that Marty Walsh wanted to hit or declared as an ordinance, which from the Equity in City of Boston Public Contracts. Well, let me give the official title. The Equity in City of Boston Contracts Ordinance from 2017, which is to make sure that we have diversity in who we are giving city contracts to. And the number that they would tout is 20%. And so now I'm going to read directly from Sagoon explaining this. Not the total 20% supplier diversity number the administration was pushing that lumped together women, veterans, LGBTQ, and minorities led to a hearing that exposed the inequity of the equity ordinance. Less than 1%, 0.004 to be exact, of the $664 million in spending and taxpayer-funded contracts went to Black businesses, which is a staggering 0.004%. And so throughout this interview, and the question that I wanted everyone to have that background for, is a one-sentence response that he gives. Or he goes into more detail, but I'm just going to highlight this one sentence, which is, of course, incredibly unfair, is probably not at all a total summation of his views on economics. I am just flagging the voice that I hear in the back of my mind of something to look out for. So when asked the question, the ordinance is a great example of the lack of economic inclusion. How do you address the topic without sounding like a broken record? His response is this. As a society, our businesses create safety nets by helping people who don't have anything. The more people you create who have something, the less you have to spend on public safety nets. And I am sure if you identify as a socialist or a communist or to what extent you have been following economics, that sentence or two will stand out. Because the concept that businesses are the gateway to helping people is incredibly fundamentally flawed. And again, I am taking one sentence. This was him in his current position, that is to advocate for minority-owned businesses and equity in contracts, which is something that we absolutely need to have. But the view of businesses will help provide the material benefits for people so that therefore we need less public safety nets is an incredibly flawed strategy, because ultimately, this is going to get just very simplistic, you have two different levers that you could do. One lever is to decrease taxes. You could decrease taxes on wealthy individuals to hope that they spend more, to hope that they finance new investments and new businesses. You could lower taxes on companies, CEOs, and businesses. Again, hoping that that'll maybe attract more businesses, that then they'll be able to hire more people, and then you'd achieve growth that way. That model has failed for decades. Another way of phrasing that is trickle-down economics. Another model, the other way, might be to increase taxes, then using that surplus revenue to fund public services. And my only concern is that if we continue to use the only lever of let's make Boston a better place for business because therefore it'll benefit everyone else, that is a very flawed strategy. It is a flawed strategy in addressing poverty. It is a flawed strategy in addressing shortening life expectancy. It is a failed strategy in addressing racial equity in Boston. And so I really hope, and it is incredibly unfair to take one or two sentences out of this, I really hope that we have a much more holistic view in a Wu administration's economic policy that is not just one of how do we foment a better climate for businesses. That's it. I wish him all the best. I don't think I've met him before. It is possible I have. I have always been very impressed anytime I have heard him speak. I'm hopeful he will do great things in this role. But whenever I have the little voice in the back of my head, I want to share it with you. And if you're listening to this, I assume you're also curious what I'm thinking as well. But if you have any questions or would like to give me some more information on him, I'd absolutely love it. Let's talk a little bit about some of the more recent things that Michelle has passed over the last week. But before I do that, some people are writing comments. Let's see. Hugh Granddaughter says that's a good idea in theory. Pagey says, God bless you, bro. Thank you. Hugh Grant again. But how do we also just invest in helping people get into those fields in the first place? You might have to specify what you mean to me with fields. But thank you. And feel free to fill in the chat. So there are some big things that came up this week, one of which is from what's going on in MassinCast. So I think right before, or probably last week, I said that I really wasn't anticipating Michelle doing anything right away with what's going on in MassinCast. And I think almost immediately I was proven wrong, which if you listen to me, happens just as often as it happens that I'm right. And Michelle Wu put a stop to the sweep that was going on, put a stop to the clearing of the tents along the area of MassinCast. And she said, we're going to do this until we see the decision of the ACLU lawsuit, which was to try to pass, and this might not be the right legal term, an immediate injunction, immediately stop this process. The judge denied that. However, the lawsuit against the city is still ongoing. So the ACLU did not lose the lawsuit. They just lost the right to an immediate injunction to stop this. And then the kind of spotlight went back on Michelle. Okay, so now Michelle, does this mean you're going to resume? Is that what you meant by it? And she stayed to it, saying that she is going to pause the removal of the tents. Now, I have not seen the massive backlash that I assumed would have come from this. It is possible the Herald had something. I know that there are corners of Twitter that are very much in favor of the sweeps. But I did not really see much of a backlash to Michelle pausing this, as much as I would have assumed she would have. And on top of this, they also closed down the courts. Because if you remember, when they first did this sweep, they created these remote, very dystopian, or as it's labeled in WGBH from Tori Bedford, who I think I've given her a shout out before. But we wouldn't know any of this if it wasn't for her. If it wasn't for her sitting in the courtroom documenting them denying people treatment and throwing them in cages, completely exposing that Kim Janey was lying about the entire thing. But Tory labels it as a controversial special court session held at the Suffolk County Jail for people arrested in MassinCast is ending Monday due to the low case volume and following public pressure from city officials and advocates. And that number, the low case volume, really speaks to it did a job. It quickly, like a meatpacking plant, ran through as many people as possible, denied people treatment, threw them in a cage as quick as possible so that it wouldn't be a long, drawn-out affair. So they're citing low-case volume, but Tory is also mending that it faced public pressure. One of maybe the only times I'll give Ricardo Arroyo a shout-out because I know he spoke publicly on it, but Michelle herself, as mayor, could have kept these going if she really wanted to. But these have also closed. So we are seeing very positive action that I was skeptical of Wu doing this quickly. And in this article here, it goes into what Michelle is now saying is that we need more people working in shelters in order to achieve larger services to meet the needs of the people there. Now, to some extent, I absolutely believe that is true. I can tell you right now, if you go to job search, Pine Street Inn, or other facilities, they are hiring around the clock. So if you're looking for work, it might be very rewarding work to do. In full disclosure, I applied because I'm also currently seeking a new role. Though, as we learned during this experience, there are people who will not stay in shelters. One, because of the requirements of them. Many require absolutely zero tolerance where it comes to alcohol or drugs, and there are people who are still using those to cope with reality. Some of those who are still facing addiction through mental health issues, so that is just not an option to them. And others have documented the treatment that they experience there, saying that they feel safer being out on the street with a more organic community, that they feel like they're in prison when they're in these shelters. So let's hope more staffing, better trained, but ultimately, and I do know that Michelle knows this, is that this is only a situation which is going to be solved through a massive expenditure in public housing. That this is fundamentally an issue around housing and around people's material living standards. Because if you ask anyone, they just want a safe place to stay. And instead, they're bounced around these shelters where they're infanticized. And it just does not work. And then we have to go on top of that, meeting mental health needs, making sure they have access to food and to care. But overall, over the last week, Michelle has acted very positively around Mass and Cass. And we're going to see soon if those numbers start ticking up again. Again, the weather is colder. So it'll be something to monitor, any change in her policy. But ultimately, she gets points for doing that. Now, the next thing, and I'm glad it came up because this popped in my head at the end of last week, of we're going to need to bring back the conversation around vaccine mandates here in Boston. Because it was something that during the campaign trail, Michelle said she favored. Kim Janey had the very notable gaffe of saying, trying to link it to slavery, saying that it would deny people going into supermarkets if they couldn't provide proof of a vaccine passport, all of which was nonsense and outside of reality. But it was something that Michelle said that she favored, and it came up in an interview that she was on maybe a day or two ago. But I see some quick people saying things in the chat. Just let me give them a shout out. Lamar says, glad Wu put a stop to this. Yes. Scoobit says, what is she doing about the bike gangs? So probably absolutely nothing, which, to be honest, is the correct call. If you had to create a triage of need in the city of Boston, what is the most needed things we need to fix? Kids on dirt bikes doesn't hit the top 20. And if it hits the top 20, then we're doing pretty well. I know that there was a report of someone being attacked by bikes. I can't take any police report on bikes seriously because that is just the one of count and they are obsessed with talking about it. There are a lot more important issues that they should be dealing with, such as solving homicides. If you commit a murder in Boston, you are more likely to get away with it than you are to get caught. And that is strictly because of where does the Boston police put their resources. If a murder or rape happens in one area of Boston, they don't really put that many resources behind it. But if you have a dirt bike and you drive through a certain neighborhood, which you're not supposed to be in, they get all the resources they want because it's easier. Need to pay and train staff. Scott Boyd defending to beat the poor man up. Again, I can never base policy around one isolated incident. It cannot happen. If you based policy around that, you'd be chasing circles. And again, we're not prioritizing teenagers on bikes. So I hope that I don't know what happened. I hope the person who was injured or assaulted is okay. Truly, I do. But that is not where any resources is going to be beneficial. But so where it comes to vaccine mandates, Michelle had her first Ask the Mayor segment on GBH's public Boston Public Radio, which is something that I normally do not listen to. Every now and then, I used to steal clips from it when I was on another program. But, yeah, I mean, it's 4 hours a day, and they cover a lot of too much national stuff. But every now and then, I check it out, and I listen to this, because I wanted Michelle's comment on this question. So she was asked, basically, are we going to have a program similar to New York City of vaccine mandates where you have to show proof of vaccination status to go to a gym or a restaurant or a bar or a movie theater? Right now, if you try to go see the Celtics who are playing at the Garden tonight, you need to show your vaccine passport. That should be mandated across the city. And Michelle's response to this, we're following the data very closely and thinking about every tool the city of Boston has. I still very much think we should be taking all possible action to protect the community members, customers, those who want to attend events. The way to head off a shutdown is for everyone to get vaccinated and protected. We're looking at all of the options available. And I believe she was asked directly, do you support this? And she said yes. She continues, we are seeing a surge in Boston. Already week over week, we are seeing numbers headed in the anticipated winter surge and holiday season with so many families and friends are coming together indoors and in groups. And we absolutely should be going towards a vaccine mandate, in my best guess, because again, the numbers are going to keep going up. Cases are going to continue to go up, and we just need to hope that enough people are vaccinated, especially from the most vulnerable populations, that hospitalizations do not rise at the same rate. And thus far, this has been true throughout Massachusetts. I don't know the Boston numbers as well as I do the rest of the states. And deaths have more or less plateaued with a slight increase, but have basically averaged somewhere around a dozen to 15 a day. And that has been more or less the constant for a few months now. And if I had to guess, because that trend is going to continue upward a little bit, maybe within 2 weeks, Michelle will be announcing a vaccine mandate that you must show proof of vaccine starting now until, I don't know, I'd make it maybe March 1st, and then that we'll reevaluate. But I'm looking forward to seeing how that is handled. But again, so far, it seems like something she's in support of, but I think we need to put a little bit more pressure on her to get that done. Final thoughts, and I now have to give credit to @JessieKB from Twitter, who did a little research and found this out, which was basically that we have a lot of people who sit on the Zoning Board of Appeals here in Boston that have expired contracts on that board, whose terms have ended. So much so that the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, the 12-person body actually has 10 people who have expired contracts. Yes, I am correct. I just double-checked. And this is the body that routinely votes against affordable housing projects because they don't have enough parking, that have a lot of power. I think more than the BPDA in terms of what gets built. Because, again, we have created a overly complex, opaque, anti-democratic process to how we do housing in the city, how I try to think of it, is basically every large development is going to require some leeway in terms of our zoning codes. Whenever you hear zoning, just replace it in your head with rules around building. That's what zoning codes are. They're just the rules around building. So basically every large development needs to, like, don't let us have to do this rule. Don't let us have to do this. So the BPDA, they kind of handle the project itself. They undo the review. They go through the whole thing. And then because they need to seek some sort of a zoning pass, it needs to be approved by this body. I'm trying to simplify the best I can. If I am way off, someone let me know. And this body, again, only has two people currently sitting on it with active contracts. So if Michelle wanted to, she could tell all the people with expired, hey, thank you for your service, you're done. Hire me and 9 of my friends, and we'll sit there, and we'll determine what is accepted and what is not. So she could radically, through the power of appointment, have a lot of influence over what gets passed in Boston. And this 100% needs to be a leverage point that housing groups, community groups need to address with her and stack with our people. If we want to do a temporary YIMBY alliance, because a lot of people who identify as YIMBYs hate how many projects get voted down by this board. Again, we don't agree with some major issues around housing, but if we're able to stack this board with people who will allow affordable projects, despite the fact they don't add enough parking spots, that is something that we need to push Michelle to do. Now, again, it's November 24th. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Everyone's going to be a little meh for the next month through the holiday season. I'm not expecting massive changes in terms of staffing on this board by then, but she needs to be pressured to do this because this could have an insane amount of good. And especially here in Dorchester, we are very afraid that the BPDA is pushing forward massive projects, things that were already underway for years under Marty's administration, just to get them done. And we saw this all throughout COVID. All throughout COVID, they were rapid fire stamping approval on luxury developments, on lab space throughout the city, because they knew that everyone's just struggling to survive. No one can stop us. So if you want to put up cork in that, this is the best way to do it. Tell all these people, thank you, goodbye. Again, I am volunteering. Put me on the board. So she has massive power. And once you have power, your failure to use it makes you accountable. So I'm going to try to watch what decisions this board makes from last week when she was sworn in ongoing, because they are going to either start, and they already have rejected projects they should have accepted. And I bet you they're accepting projects they should have rejected. So Michelle definitely needs to make this a priority. And finally, before I leave you tonight, this just came today. Update on what Michelle's up to. Michelle Wu extends outdoor dining in Boston to December 31st. Fantastic. Though oddly, except for the North End, has been carved out of this exception. I'm reading it now. This extension does not include restaurants on the narrow, crowded streets of Boston's North End, where outdoor dining ended on October 31st. The city chose to end alfresco dining in the North End earlier than the other neighborhoods for a variety of reasons, including heavy traffic, parking issues, and construction projects. If ever there was a place that we should have cute little outdoor dining options available, it would be the North End. I don't care about the parking spots. I know a lot of the businesses wanted to keep it. A lot of the restaurants wanted to keep it. You're telling me you couldn't have put together a coalition of every restaurant on Hanover Street to talk to the community group and saying, we need this to survive? Asinine. But very, very glad we're extending it to December 31st. And this is a project that Boston needs to put a lot of money in. I also know the city is hiring to manage this program, because I'm hoping come, I don't know, March 1st, April 1st, that all the restaurants get back, you know, that parking spot or two out front to have outdoor dining. That is something we need a lot more of in the city. It helped keep some businesses alive during COVID, and I think it's going to help a lot of smaller restaurants prosper in years to come. It was only like one of the only good positive innovations to come out of the whole pandemic. Outdoor dining, let's do it. So thank you for the extension, but make sure that that is long-term. And yeah, so that does it. That was Michelle's first week. Again, we'll see if she has a busy week next week. If not, I'll start doing the first episode of the council. I have a vacation planned, but that's a few weeks away, so we'll talk about the schedule for that. And besides that, I just wanted to say thank you all for listening. I can't look it up in my phone, but if you listen to my podcast in the mornings, I'm trying to, for the outro, give thanks to people who have been financially contributing. If you would like to, my Venmo is in the link tree, but Friday morning's episode, I'll make sure to give that person a shout out. Let me just read some comments before I take off. I see people applauding. I'm assuming it's because you agreed with what I said. Lamar says, do you think she will do that? that is so undemocratic for them to be there. I really hope she does. And again, if I know that this is a power she has, if I know that this is the state of the Zoning Board of Appeals, Michelle definitely does too. Imagine if we didn't center our entire lives around cars and parking. Absolutely. Christina, sure friend. It's me, Celine, 6'6", happy Thanksgiving. And we'll leave it with a happy Thanksgiving. So, or however you choose to celebrate this weekend. Everyone wish my fantasy football team luck. I'm going to say goodbye to the podcast people. I will see you Friday morning because I'm taking tomorrow off. Good night.